Ahoy, mateys, and welcome to Body Bag Podcast. I'm Chris Thomas, and I'm going on a cruise. Maybe I'm going fishing, I think. I don't know. I'm not quite sure, but it looks like water is going to be involved this time. The movie is Triangle this week, and this one goes out to Simon Brake, or PSI Breaker, as you can find him on Threads and on Instagram. A little trippy, he says, this one. A little trippy and acquired taste. But you know, I'm not one to shrug off something being a little bit weird. This is a horror podcast, after all, and horror can go down so many different avenues. But as we start off each of these episodes, why don't we take a look at the poster? What do we got here? Now, before I even break down what I see on this poster, the tagline says, "Fear comes in waves." So I'm going to go ahead and just off the top of my head say that Triangle is in reference to the Bermuda Triangle. So what do we got here on the poster here? We have an axe-wielding crazy person and a small boat in the middle of the water, and he's holding the axe towards what might be his next victim, this young woman. I hope this isn't a mystery, because the boat that's on the poster is pretty small looking, so the mystery of who the killer is going to be, it would be kind of a very short sleuthing session. Alright, so predictions. And I'm just going to be pulling this completely out of my ass. I'm going to say a group of people accidentally wander into the Bermuda Triangle and is met with a crazed killer on the high seas. And this is a stretch, but I'm going to go ahead and say that this killer is the reason why so many things go missing out in the Bermuda Triangle. Or maybe we'll get some kind of explanation on all the souls that have been lost on the high seas in the Bermuda Triangle area. But then again, I don't know. I'm not getting paranormal vibes from this. I don't know if we're going to go down ghost territory. I'm not getting that from the movie poster. But it might delve into a little bit of paranormal just because I think it is definitely Bermuda Triangle. There's also another little review tagline that says, "It will twist you and terrify you over and over. Twist you and terrify you over and over." If we're talking about stranded out in the middle of the ocean, PSI Breaker said that this is trippy and an acquired taste. So I'm going to guess that there's going to be hallucinations involved. People are going to be dehydrated, stranded out in the ocean, maybe drinking salt water at some point. So top three predictions: Bermuda Triangle, hallucinations, no survivors. These last couple of movie posters have actually been pretty good at being very restrained in what they put on the movie poster. They're not giving away too much. The last couple have just been very minimalistic, just one or two creatures or people on the front and just the title. So that's what I got so far. And I'm looking forward to this one. Let's see if I am part of that acquired taste that will enjoy this movie. Thank you again, Simon Brake, for this one. And I will be back with a review after the view. I was way off with the whole Bermuda Triangle assumption. Simon, you were not kidding. This was a trip and a half of a movie. I'll spend the first 2 or 3 minutes going over a basic spoiler-free review of the movie, and then I gotta just go straight into spoiler territory. You can't really talk about this kind of a movie without it not getting spoiled. It seems like the only thing I was right about in my pre-viewing assumption was that it does take place in the water, so, I mean, there was that. So, initially, we are stuck on a boat with a group of people. So immediately when I started watching it, I was a little worried, because usually with a setup like this, it devolves into everybody turning into like straight up assholes. Kind of like the movie 30 Miles from Nowhere, where if you don't get the characters right and you just have to be stuck with them through the duration of the movie in a confined space, it can make the movie feel like an eternity to get through. So it's very important that these characters aren't written to be insufferable. So a little setup. We have a few main characters here. We have Jess, who has an autistic son, yet something mysterious happened to him earlier in the day, and she's going to visit her friend Greg, and they're all going on a little bit of a boat trip. Then you have Greg, who has the boat called the Triangle. There's your triangle thing. I thought it was the Bermuda Triangle. Triangle is the name of the boat. And a group of friends and acquaintances are going to go and have a pretty much a day trip out on the ocean. We got Victor, which is Greg's deckhand, and we have Sally and Downey, who are a married couple, friends of Greg, and then Heather, one of Sally's friends. All right, those are your characters. While out at sea, the group gets hit with a big storm that comes out of nowhere and it causes them to capsize, but luckily a passing cruise liner picks them up, but the group begin to realize that the ship may not be the saving grace that they thought it was. All right, that is all you are going to get in terms of spoiler-free talk. We are delving straight into spoiler territory now. Okay, Simon, at first I thought this was just an okay movie. okay setup. It looks like it was going down the route of a haunted ship kind of thing. Because the group gets on this passing cruise liner and immediately notices nobody's on it. So immediately I'm thinking, oh, we're getting into, like, ghost ship territory. And if you've ever seen Ghost Ship, you know it has a strong intro. And then the rest of the movie is kind of lackluster. When I was watching this, however, the way it was shot, the way it was building up tension, this is kind of like how I wanted Ghost Ship to feel like. They get on board this ship, they see, like, people, or they see moving objects out of the corner of their eyes, and they turn around, like, nothing's there. It seems like they're not alone, but the entire ship is abandoned. And another thing it did right is, inside this ship, it actually is lit like the inside of a ship. Problem with Ghost Ship, it was way too bright. Inside this cruise ship, the outside is super duper bright, but inside, it's, you know, it's not going to be completely lit. There's shadows, there's dark spaces. Very, very creepy. But you immediately get the sense that the ship is haunted. And so, you have a haunted scenario and a group of people. How long do you think it took them to go, let's split up? They've barely been on the ship for 10 minutes and they're already breaking away from each other. Half of the group is trying to figure out where a lost member of the group is. Heather didn't make it. Heather's washed away, dead. And the other half wants to try to find, well, where's the skipper? Where's the, you know, where are people? We need to tell them what we've been capsized and try to get out of here. As they go throughout the ship, one by one, each of the members gets killed by a mass psychopath with a gun. In rather quick succession, just all of a sudden, one by one, each of the members are getting killed off, and we don't necessarily know how a few of them get killed. Jess just stumbles across Victor, who's got a wound in the back of his head. Greg gets shot off screen, and people are confused, saying that Jess did it, even though Jess was just in the other room. And then a masked killer shows up and just starts blowing them away, just one by one, just one after another, until it's just Jess left. The psychopath goes and tries to chase down Jess. They have a scuffle, and then Jess gets the better of the two, and the masked psychopath goes overboard, falls into the ocean. Seems like a rather short movie, right? I mean, this movie still has an hour left, and now it's just Jess alone on the boat. Here is where the big twist comes in. And yes, the twist happens very early on in the movie, because it can only happen early on in the movie. Jess goes and looks off the side of the boat, and she sees her group, the capsized boat and everything, coming upon the ship, getting ready to board again. And it turns out that Jess and this group is in a time loop. And apparently Jess right now is the only one who knows about it. This is where it starts getting trippy. Forewarning, if you don't like time paradoxes, time loops, or if you watch something that has to do with time and you can't get over certain aspects like, well, if this happened in this part of the time thing, then it wouldn't have happened, then this is going to frustrate you. Now, me personally, I absolutely love movies that have to deal with time. Like, one of my favorite movies of all time is Back to the Future, and I can tear that movie apart with how if you did certain things in the past, then it wouldn't have affected the future, and or if you did certain things in the past, it would have affected the future, and Marty wouldn't have gone back in time. I can put all that aside. Even though I can tear it apart, I love the movie. So, time travel and time loop movies are kind of my jam. So Simon, you lucked out with the fact that this is a trippy movie, but it was right in my wheelhouse. So essentially, Jess sees the group board back on the ship, and she tries to prevent these past killings from happening. And if you know anything about time travel, you can already know the even bigger twist a mile away. She's the masked killer in the end. I mean, I don't think I'm giving anything away by saying that kind of early on. She's the masked killer. Now, it might seem like an obvious thing that they're trying to make a twist that, oh, she's eventually going to be the mass killer. I mean, if you have any common sense, you kind of know that early on. The big thing about this movie is you are trying to figure out, how does she get to this point? Like, why is she doing this now? How is it that she ends up being this person going around killing people, and why? Now, the time loop aspect, you're not going to get an answer for that. You're not going to get an answer as to why the time loop even exists. They just happen to be on a yacht, and then their yacht just happens to sail right into the Twilight Zone. That's the only way I can describe it. These people are living in the Twilight Zone, or at least Jess is. She initially tries to save everybody by preventing people from dying. Then she eventually realizes that this time loop comes with a caveat. The time loop only starts again once everybody on the ship dies. So once everybody on the ship dies, time loop starts all over again, leaving a Jess in there, trying desperately to break this time loop. Now, what isn't necessarily explained very well, and this is one of my criticisms, we find out that this is a time loop. Jess knows what's happening. And she realizes that, all right, everybody dies, time loop starts all over again. Near the end of the movie, it's not necessarily explained why she wants the time loop to start over again. Because near the end, she does everything that you think. She tries to talk to people and say, hey, I'm in a time loop and this is happening. And of course, people are going to look at her like she's crazy. I mean, if somebody came up to you and said, hey, I'm from the future and you're dead, but you're also not dead and I'm going to kill you, but I'm going to try to save you now. You would obviously think that person is whacked. So she tries that whole scenario, doesn't work. She even tries running into herself at one point, doesn't have the guts to like kill herself. It's a very hard movie to kind of explain. It's very, very wibbly wobbly, timey wimey. You kind of have to see it. But all of that business happens in the middle. I will go further into what happens in the end. Jess eventually gets off the ship by being essentially tossed overboard. What we saw in the beginning with her and the psychopath basically repeats beat for beat at the very end. She gets tossed overboard. She wakes up on the shore. She didn't drown. She woke up on the shore. She's like, oh, I finally made it out. I'm going to get home back to my son. Because that's been a running theme throughout the entire movie is that she wants to get back home to her son, who's autistic. It's Saturday. This was a day that she wanted to just kind of have for herself. So she goes home. Gets home. She looks in the window and sees herself. It is that same morning. So she is still in this time loop. And we also find out that Jess is kind of a horrible mother. She's a very abusive mother to her autistic son. And you can imagine that that was one of the reasons why she wanted to get back home so quickly. I guess to have a second chance. I guess she realized she was a horrible mother, so she wanted to get back home to her son, or just realized that her son is kind of like her only thing in this world. She looks from the outside in, sees herself being abusive to her own autistic son. That was a twist. Because throughout the entire movie, you go, okay, well, Jess has been killing people in the ship and everything like that. At least she's a good mother. She's trying to get back to home to her son. Then you go and you see, oh, no, she's a terrible mother. I understand it can't be easy to raise an autistic son by yourself. She's a single mother, but she takes all of her frustration out on her son. Smacks him in the face when he drops something. Yells at him. Says that he's an asshole like his father. I mean, just a horrible mother. And Jess sees all this from the outside of her house, like watching her past self do all this stuff. And she's like, screw this. She goes inside when her son's in another room and beats the shit out of her. And just beats her own past self to death with a sledgehammer. Unfortunately, the kid sees it. Oops. She tries to take the son away. They try to go away somewhere. She gets distracted while she's driving. Gets hit by a semi-truck. She and her son die. And then the camera pans up and you see another just looking at it. More time loop stuff. Just looking at herself and her son dies, and then she goes back to the harbor to start the whole thing over again. It's very, very strange. It might sound like nonsense as I'm trying to explain it, but with time travel stuff like this and time loop movies, it's a very, very hard thing to try to explain because you're repeating yourself. You're like, and then Jess kills Jess, but Jess is also over here doing this. So it's very hard, but trust me, it'll make a little bit more sense than the way I'm describing it. But that does lead into some criticisms, because, like I said, if you don't like movies like this that have to do with time, you're not going to necessarily like this. I can put it aside because I enjoy stuff like that. It does warrant a second rewatch if you are into this, because movies like this tend to make sense on a second viewing. But some of the criticism that I do have, that at a certain part of the movie when Jess realizes that there are copies of herself killing people, she just needs to stop telling people, hey, this wasn't me, it wasn't me, you know, because that ship has already sailed, if you pardon the little nautical pun I just threw in there. You aren't helping the whole I'm not crazy argument when they just got stabbed by a past version of yourself and you're trying to say, no, it wasn't me. So just don't even try explaining that it was just, you're not going to get through to somebody. In fact, you trying to prevent this from happening is only going to cause more damage. For some reason, I think that if she were to just... All right, she realizes she's in a time loop. Go sit down somewhere. You realize that you're the source of all this killing and whatnot at some point. Go and sit down somewhere. Something tells me, like, if you just take yourself out of the equation, like, they'll be alive and everything will be fine. And something that's also a little bit irritating, and even though I like movies like this, it is an irritating feeling. But it's just like this because we have the benefit of knowing what the scope of the situation is. But you do end up saying to yourself, well, I would have done that. If I knew that I'm in a time loop, I wouldn't have done that. Why is she doing that for? Why is Jess doing X, Y, and Z when she already knows future facts? It's not just as cut and dry as that, because there are multiple copies of herself running around at some point. So it can get a little weird. But at the end of the day, it was a twist I did not see coming. This went from a generic, oh, this is probably their capsized at sea and people turn on each other movie, to then I thought it was a ghost movie. I thought we were getting, like, The Shining on the sea or something like that. And then it turned into a time loop mystery movie. So this movie keeps you guessing, so it's not a boring movie at all. Some of the actions that the characters take can be a little bit, like, weird, and there are some instances where some characters can get a little annoying, but it's fun. It's fun if you want to try to figure out the mystery, and when you see little things like, oh, that was them in the beginning when this happened, or at one point before the ship capsized, they got a distress signal. Find out that that distress signal was coming from the ship from a future, so it's wild. It's pretty cool, though. Instances like that where you realize, oh my god, that was part of the time loop, can be pretty fun. So this has been kind of a weird breakdown of this movie. Again, I apologize that this is kind of an all-over-the-place review, because the movie does deserve to be watched. I just don't think I'm doing it justice, because time travel. It's just the nature of this kind of movie is just hard to explain. It's like when I tried to break down Skinamarink. Certain movies are just hard to explain without you just sounding ridiculous or redundant. So I'll just go straight on into my breakdown in terms of score. On a technical level, I think I'm going to give this a solid 6.9. There are a few choppy editing sequences, especially when there's a chase sequence. Especially near the beginning, there were a lot of cuts in a certain chase sequence that can be a little disorienting. You can be like, okay, she was just over there, now it cut and she's running the other way and she looks fine. That could have been done a little bit better. The music is restrained, which I always said I like. In fact, you know what? Just that one scene is the only kind of issue I have. So on a technical level, I'm actually going to give it a 7. I think it deserves a 7. 7's a good score. Lighting is done very well. The outside looks very bright and sunny. The inside is very dark and dank and shadowy. It's very cool. Aside from that one scene I was mentioning about with the choppy editing, the rest of it is actually shot pretty decently. Not a lot of bombastic music. Good tension building in a lot of the shots. Plays with a lot of stuff that you see out of the corner of your eye, and then they double take, and then you later find out, oh, it was just from the future. So I'm gonna give it a 7 on a technical level. Story. This is where it's gonna be a little hard. Time travel movies are a hard thing to kind of score in terms of a story, because you can nitpick a lot of things when it comes to time travel and time loops and go, well, if that happened, then that wouldn't have happened, or if she interfered with this, then that wouldn't have happened. But it wasn't necessarily disruptive in terms of my enjoyment of it. But as a story, you know, I'm going to have to give this another 7. The story was good. Like, if you dig this kind of storytelling, it's a pretty decent watch. Which is why, also in enjoyment, I think I'm going to have to give it, 7.3. I'm going to give it a 7.3 for enjoyment. Once I found out that it was a time kind of movie, I got really invested. Especially considering I thought I was just in for a generic capsized movie, and then I thought I was in for a ghost movie, which, nothing wrong with a ghost movie. That would have just been a third review of a ghost movie that I've done. But when I found out it was a time loop movie, and then there's a mystery aspect in terms of why is she doing this, and what parts were her and what parts were not her, and then finding out even later on, further on, that she was still in a time loop, it was a pretty enjoyable experience to watch. Please don't let my horrible telling of this story deter you from watching it, because I do recommend that you watch it. Even if you listen to the spoiler talk of it, it's still worth a watch to just check it out. So that will bring the total to 21.3 out of 30, which is about a 71-72 out of 100, so good movie, solid movie. I really enjoyed it. The entire time, I was just waiting for the trippiness to get to it, because Simon said, well, this is a pretty trippy movie, but I enjoy it. So that was the part I was waiting for. And then once I realized what the trippiness aspect was going to be, I was all in. So thank you for that movie, Simon. I really enjoyed it. That was a pretty good way to start my Saturday morning. Because yes, I did start my morning watching this. Off the top of my head, I can't really think of a whole lot of movies that have a time loop or time travel aspect woven into the horror genre. So that was a nice unexpected treat. So thank you again to Simon Break, or PSI Breaker, if you want to find him on Threads and Instagram. And thank you guys for listening to this latest review. I hope that you guys are enjoying these smaller, more condensed reviews. And I appreciate your interaction with me and the podcast, especially considering that Broke Writer Dave had stepped away. So I'm glad that you guys are keeping me engaged and giving me recommendations. So that's going to wrap things up for this episode. I hope you guys have a good one, and I will see you guys in the next review.